You are listening to the Broken Catholic Man Show, where we help you tell the truth, expose the lies, and slay your own demons. This is a live call-in show for men. So if you are a man and you have a question about your marriage, faith, or purpose, then call 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. Now here is your host, Joseph the Broken Catholic. Prepare yourself for freedom, my friend.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Joseph Warren here. How's your Monday? Where are you driving in from? Are you driving to work right now? What are you doing? Listen, I just got here to the studio, and I drive across the bridge, so I'm in the South Tampa area, and, you know, driving over here in the morning time, early morning to beat rush hour, I get to spend quiet time with God and just silence myself and just speak to my Creator and get clear on what does He want me to do today, right? And so many times we forget to ask God, what does He want me to do with this day that He's given us? You know, we think the day belongs to us, and you know, we're worried about all our plans and schemes and the tasks at hand, all our goals. And sometimes we skip that really important thing or person, which is our Heavenly Father, and just checking in with Him and just saying, hey, God, like, what do you have for me today? Is there something you want me to do today for you, for your kingdom? So I just want to reflect on that with you, just a little reminder for us men, right, us Christian men, that we can't just check in with God on Sundays, right? That can't be the extent of your faith. So today's topic, what we're going to speak about today, is this question. Is faith leadership solely your wife's responsibility? Is faith leadership in your home solely the mother's responsibility? So that's the question, right? And that is a common myth. That's a lot of guys think that. So we're going to get into that today. But before we do, I just wanted to remind you, this is a live call-in show. We are on week two, our second week. And if you have questions about your situation, anything you're dealing with in your faith, in your family, your fatherhood, this is your opportunity to give a call and possibly get some clarity on your situation. And I get it. As men, we don't want to speak about the struggles that we're going through. We want to look like we have it all figured out. And, you know, we don't want to let out those secrets. But here's the main secret, like, again, and this is a reminder from last week, what did we learn? We learned that men are all the same in our struggles. Like, we all struggle with the same thing. Same things, I should say. And it's just part of being a man and part of being human. There's a brokenness in us, right? It's our fallen nature. We know that. You learned that in Sunday school when you were growing up. But how does that apply, that fallen nature? Like, where does that show up in our lives as men, as adults? You're now possibly married, you have children, your life has shifted, right? It's no longer those bachelor days where it's all about you. Now you have to think about others, be selfless. And that's a real wrestle on the inside, isn't it? To put your family's needs above yours. Now maybe you're that amazing guy that, oh, Joseph, it's so easy, man. Like, I always think of others before myself. Well, God bless you. I know for, say, 80-20 rule here, 80% of us, it's the other way around. We have selfish thoughts and desires. Our default is ourself, right? Our needs, our desires, our wants, our dreams, our goals. Then maybe everybody else. And then there's a few of you that you have an unhealthy selflessness. Let me tell you about that for a second. Like, and what I mean by that is, like, you don't actually feel confident in your own self-worth. And that's why you may put others first. And this is the common people pleaser guy, right? You know, this man, we'll call him Bob, right? Bob is a people pleaser, and Bob, he always puts everybody else first and everything, and, you know, even when it's not ethical to do so, meaning, like, he trains people to mistreat him. Like, over time, he lets them get away with, you know, taking too much from him, taking advantage of his kindness. And it's not really their fault when you think about it. It's like Bob is actually training them that it's okay to take advantage of me. I'm not going to push back. And if I can give you more and help you get to your goals and desires faster by you taking advantage of me, why wouldn't you? And see, this guy, Bob, he tempts good people to do the wrong thing sometimes just by being a people pleaser. So it's this false selflessness of, you know, doing what Jesus asks us to do, to put God first and then others, but he neglects like his own self-worth, right? So he becomes a doormat. And maybe you resonate with that. I know I've worked with a lot of guys that they fall into that area of being a doormat in their own life. And it really comes back to that, you know, they just don't feel worthy of the same respect and dignity that they give everybody else. Now, they may not say that out loud or admit it, but it's there. It's there. So coming back full story here, you know, what happened this weekend, this past week, I should say, I flew back up to Long Island, New York. That's where I'm from, born and raised until age 19. That's when I left. And I flew up to New York and buried my mother. So my mother passed away just over a week ago. And, you know, she lived a good life as far as, you know, age. And I want to say she was 78, 79 when she just passed. But my mom had a lot of struggles in her life. And as long as I can remember her, from, you know, 8.5 years old when she divorced my dad, all the way up until, you know, present day when she just passed a week or so ago, my mom has just been struggling on the inside, really. Struggling with emotional affliction, psychological affliction, spiritual affliction, some physical pain, you know. And she's just led this life of struggle as long as I can remember. And I, as a young boy, like, well, becoming a man, right, I started listening to Tony Robbins and motivational speaking because I grew up in poverty and I really wanted... I wanted to do something with my life. I wanted to have, you know, what my friends had. And I was just tired of being the poor kid on the block. You know what I mean by that? The poor kid in my neighborhood. And so I had these lofty dreams. I had three big goals for my life. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. And I want to be wealthy. That's not bad, right? Idealistic goals. A lot of you have had those goals. Maybe you've had one that has dominated the other. Happy, healthy, and wealthy. And the main reason was I just wanted my life to look different than my childhood. You know, my dad did the best he could with what he had, and he did a lot of odd jobs. And, you know, I spoke about him a little bit last week. And, you know, growing up, like, dad was cool. He was loving and disciplinary, very. But he didn't seem to, you know, be successful in the eyes of society. And I wanted that big time. So I really wanted to get away and be successful, right? So I got into business early. I had some great success in the beginning at a young age. But coming back full circle to my mom, I wanted to, every time I would call my mom, she would always have like this negative spirit on her, this negative lens of life. And when I would tell her about my goals and my dreams and, Mom, I'm making a lot of money and I'm getting to do these things that, you know, I have always wanted to do. And I was sharing this with her. She was like, Joseph, God doesn't want us to be wealthy. God doesn't want you to be successful. Like, God wants us to be poor. And man, I was just like, I can't accept that. And my mom misinterpreted, you know, some of the Bible verses, because she grew up in a different generation, 100% Greek, straight from the islands. And that's what she knew. So she mixed her poverty with her faith, right? And we can get into those topics as we go forward, right? Like wealth and biblical wealth and what does God say about it and all that. But I want to share that, just a little bit of myself here, right? Being vulnerable with you and just telling you about my mother. And, you know, she died a week or so ago. And I had a really tough time, you know, for many, 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 many years with my relationship with my mother, because she was a source of negativity in my life. Every time I would call to check in, it was always, she'd always pull the conversation into a negative spin. And I always tried to, you know, save it and bring it into a positive spin. And I was definitely extreme when it came to positivity. Probably really annoying to speak with. I was that hoorah guy with a lot of energy and enthusiasm. And I just saw everything with rose-colored glasses. And I didn't accept excuses in my life, and I definitely didn't accept excuses around me. Which, you know, really helped in business, right? 19 years old, I end up running a business with some partners, and we have 50 employees, and you know, negativity was not allowed in our office. Just wasn't. So when I'm calling home to share my glory, my self-glory with my mother, it was just negative all the time. And I'm bringing up my mom and starting off today's show with my mom because we're speaking about, you know, is faith leadership solely the mother's responsibility? And I could say growing up in my home, it was not. It was definitely not. My dad took full custody of the faith and teaching that to his children and leading our home spiritually. Now, he did it in an unhealthy way, right? So he went, anytime you're one extreme or the other, and I think we can all agree on this, it becomes unhealthy, right? Aristotle speaks about the golden median, right? The golden mean. And that's right down the middle, is finding that harmony between both extremes. And that's normally the best place to be in almost every different area of your life. And if you can find that, and you tend to have peace. And when you don't have peace, you're normally leaning towards one extreme or the other, and whatever it is we're speaking about. So when it came to faith and religion, my dad was definitely the spiritual leader in our home, but he went a little too far. Maybe you resonate with that. Again, you could call in. This is a live call-in show, Broken Catholic Man Show. You could call in 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. Call in anytime with any question you have about your life, your situation, or if you're resonating with something I'm saying, hey, Joseph, man, I grew up in the same house as yours, man. We sound like brothers. Yeah, let's talk about it, right? Let's talk about what did you do with that, right? How did you let go of whatever extreme you grew up in and find that middle ground? Or maybe you're still searching. So faith leadership, solely the mother's responsibility. What do you think? Is it? Is faith leadership the mother's job? Is it the wife's job? Is it the woman's job? Yes or no? You know, I want to hear your opinion, if you got one on this. And you may say, nah, it's definitely not. I know it's my responsibility. Awesome. Well, then I would ask you, how are you doing with it? And I ask that question not to provoke guilt, but it's an assessment, right? It's a check-in on yourself. And I have to ask myself that often. Like, I'm a father of three little babies under 4 years old. I'm deep in it with my wife, right? And how am I doing as the spiritual leader of my home? Now, the world says, it's so interesting, Well, let's go with what God says. What does God say about this question? Faith leadership, leading your family in faith. Whose responsibility does God make it? The man's or the woman's? And to really look at this, like, I think we want to go back to Genesis. In the beginning, right? God made the heavens and the earth, and it was good. And then God made man, and he gave him dominion over all of paradise. And he walked with him in paradise, and it was good. So who did God give dominion over all of paradise, all of creation? Was it the man or the woman? Well, I think the answer is right there. It was Adam. It was the man. And then God created the woman to be a helpmate to the man. But we're living in a society right now where everything is upside down and backwards when it comes to morality, when it comes to faith. And we know right now that we're not living in a Christian society, a Bible-based society, a biblical society. How? How do we know that? Well, when you start to see the media pushing evil and painting it as good, well, you know things are going upside down. When you see society pushing the women should lead in the spiritual direction or the spiritual leadership in the home, the women should do it. It's the wife's responsibility. It's the mother's responsibility. Well, that's the opposite of what God set up, what God designed. So again, we got to look at these opposites. And it's so easy, men. I get it, right? We're busy. We're working. We're paying the bills, bringing home the bacon. And that is our responsibility also given to us by God, is to work, to plow the fields. But which comes first? Which takes the priority? Leadership in faith in your home? Bringing your wives and your kids closer to God and eventually to heaven, to be with him for all eternity? Or to pay the bills? Like, which is the priority? And I'm not asking, like, which should be the priority. I'm asking you, like, which is the priority in your home? And the way you know that, right, is you got to look at your calendar, your actions. Like, is your calendar aligned with that priority, with spiritual leadership in your family? Or is your calendar more aligned with making money, paying the bills, working, being away from the family? Now, if you're in a position right now, obviously, where you're going through some financial hardships, you got to make ends meet, yeah, you're probably working more hours than you would like to. And it's not easy. That's really difficult. And in those times, those seasons of struggle, hard times, it's really difficult to find that median, right? That middle ground. Because you got to keep afloat. You possibly could lose everything, right? And so you're really operating from this place of fear as a man, rather than this place of faith, total trust and reliance in God, that he's got it. He's going to help pay all the bills. Sure, you got to go out and work and take action on it, but he's going to provide and you're not going to go under. He won't allow it. Just like Peter walking on water. Even when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink in the water, what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand and pulled him up and didn't let him go under. Right? When did he do it? At the last second. And here's the thing, and it's kind of a secret in faith, and I'm just coming to realize it myself. Maybe you already know this. God absolutely loves to show up in our human weakness. In fact, he waits for it. He waits to show up in your life after you run out of strength. When you're totally weak, when you lose all control and you clearly cannot change your situation. And you finally fall to your knees and look up to him and say, God, I got nothing. I don't know what to do. I need you. In that moment of human weakness, God the Father, like the prodigal father, runs to you. He runs to you with his arms wide open and says, yes, finally, son, I got you. I got you. I've been waiting for you to let go of control. I've been waiting for you to give control back to me. I'm the only one in control of all this, son. You can't see the future. I can. I have good plans for you, for your family. So this is like such a difficult lesson to learn. And I believe you only can learn this lesson by really going through those hard times. By hitting your rock bottom, whatever that is for you. And then finally getting to what I call the edge of self. Like you're coming up to the end of the cliff, right? Of your self, your ego. And then there's this big chasm. And across it you see God. And you scream, help, help. I'm going under. I need you, Lord. I need you. And I think when a man finally gets there, and then he invites God in and invites God to take over everything, right, in his life, and then starts to live that way, faith leadership in his home is a natural response to the surrender that he's given to his maker. It's a natural response. He doesn't have to work at it. It just works. Is this making sense? So if you're struggling with leading your family in your faith as a man, with all the busyness of life, the chaos, the struggle, all of it, I invite you this morning to really assess, how are you doing with surrendering everything to God? Everything, like total surrender, complete surrender. Are you holding back like I was not very long ago? Are you giving God 99% control and trust over your life, but then holding back that 1%? 1%. It's mine. It's mine, Lord. It's my self-reliance in case you fail me. Right? It's that 1% lack of trust. Like, Lord, I trust you up until 99% when everything looks like it's going to crash and be destroyed. Well, then I'm going to jump in with the lifesaver. I'm going to be the lifesaver rather than call out to you. And this is where, like, we all struggle as men, don't we? Again, you're listening to the Broken Catholic Man Show. I'm your host, Joseph Warren. This is a live call-in show. You could call 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000. If you have a question about your situation, anything you're going through, I'd love to chat with you. And I get it, right? You're building your know, like, and trust with me. This is only the second week, and you're really sizing me up, assessing who's this guy with the accent, and why is he talking on my car radio? I'm not sure I like this guy. He's irritating, or whatever you're thinking. Or maybe this is really resonating with you, but you don't feel ready to give a call. And I get that, right? Men are like the out of all the demographics, men over 40 are the least willing to call into a live radio show. Did you know that? There's some stats there. And it's because they don't want to share. They don't want to open up. They don't want to be vulnerable in front of the public, so to speak, right? So I'm going to offer this to you. And going forward, right, every week, if you want to call in and just remain anonymous, like last week we had our first caller, Curtis, and Curtis called in from Tampa. And, he's a personal friend of mine. I wasn't expecting the call. And he just called in with some affirmations and kind words, and it was pretty awesome, and his own personal testimony of what God did in his life. And he revealed his name and kind of his situation and some things going on there. Now, if you're not comfortable doing that, hey, here's an alternative. Here's a new possibility. You could call in and just remain anonymous, right? And we can make up a fictitious name. from now on, going forward, from this day forward, if you want to call in anonymously, you could just say, my name is Bob, right? So we're going to name Mr. Anonymous Bob. That's a name I've always liked, Bob. All right, so you could say, hey, Joseph, this is Bob calling in from Largo or calling in from Newport Richie or calling in from South Tampa, New Tampa. This is Bob, and here's my situation, or here's my question. This is what I'm going through, and what do you think? What do you see? Now, here's the other thing with men. Men think that in order for someone else to understand their situation and give them good advice in their situation, that person has to have gone through exactly what they're going through, or have experience and expertise in that specific area. For example, they have to have a medical degree in whatever it is in order to give advice in that specific area. Or in the type of work that I've done, you know, men's coaching, you know, men would come on and be like, well, you know, I need some advice on my business right now, and but, you know, I don't know if you can help me because you've never been in my business, right? And that's not accurate at all. It's not accurate at all. Again, we're all the same in our struggles. So I can speak to the struggles because they cross over into all disciplines. And I could speak from a very confident place of expertise in a lot of these, just based on all the work I've done with different men and then everything God's allowed me to go through in my own personal life. And praise God, successfully come out the other side. Like, I've been to war, man. I've been to war. Spiritual war. And we'll share stories. I'll let you in more and more getting to know me. But I really want to get to know you. This is your show. Your show. So remember, you could call in at any time and we'll speak about what you're going through. And just, you know, hey, this is Bob and I'm calling from, you know, this place and here's my question. That's simple. That's simple. All right. So faith leadership, is it solely the mother's responsibility? What do you think? What do you say? So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of share with you here. I want you to discover the secret to being a spiritual leader in your home. And it's simpler than you think, my brother. It really is. And so many men, like, this is one of the top questions searched on the internet for Christian men, Catholic men, Protestant men, doesn't matter what denomination you are. One of the top questions is, like, how do I be a spiritual leader in my home? How do I do it? Like, I feel the guilt, I feel the heaviness that I need to be doing better. I know I'm not leading my family to God in the way that I ought. But what does it actually look like with all the busyness of life? Like, what are those practical steps? So hopefully we'll give you some of those today. But first I want to story. Let me tell you a story about a man who turned his household into a vibrant domestic church. All right, we'll call him the reluctant leader. His name is John. John was a devoted Catholic, but he always left the spiritual guidance of his children to his wife, Sarah. He believed that faith leadership was more her domain. Like, she was really good at it. Like, you ever hear these guys where, you know, you ask them a question about, you know, the faith or whatever, and they're like, oh, my wife, she does that. She does all the prayer and stuff with the kids and everything. She's more spiritual. She's just more spiritual than me. I hear that all the time. My wife's just more spiritual. She's just better at it. I think God hears her prayers. He doesn't really hear mine. He doesn't answer mine, but he definitely answers my wife's prayers. So I let her do all that stuff. All that stuff, that prayer stuff, that faith stuff. Well, brother, let me be real with you and with your permission, call you out on that. That's a cop-out, isn't it? That's a real cop-out as a man, is letting your wife lead when God says, hey, I give you dominion over all of creation. That includes your family. I give you dominion. You're the man. And I've created your wife for you to be your helpmate. And here's the twist, right? The enemy's twist. Enemy loves to turn everything God does that is good. He twists it, turns it upside down, and makes it bad, but then sells it as good. Isn't that interesting, right? So the enemy wants you to give over your authority as the spiritual leader of your family and give it over to your wife. Because it's easier. It's the path of least resistance, isn't it, for you? You're busy. You're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to be a responsible man. You're a good provider. So it's easier to just say, well, my wife's better at that faith stuff than I am, so I'm just going to let her do it. I've never really been good at it anyway, and I don't like to do that, you know, in front of the kids. So we just let her go first, you know, let her lead. And again, brother, that's a cop-out, man. So I'm really hoping that this opens your eyes up and awakens you just a little bit, if this resonates with you. Or maybe you're in a place where you say, Joseph, I am the spiritual leader of my home. I'm very clear on the authority given to me by God. And I really try to show up as best I can and lead my wife and my children to heaven. That's awesome. That's amazing. Do you want to get better at it? Is there room for improvement for you? If so, let's keep listening. So going back to the story of John and his wife, Sarah, one evening, his young daughter, Emily, asked John a question that changed everything for him. She asked, Daddy, why don't you lead us in prayer sometimes? Why is it always Mommy? This simple question struck John deeply, like kind of cut into his heart a little bit. In that moment, he realized he had been neglecting an essential role in his family. Determined to change, he started small, right? Small little shifts, small little actions. He was busy. He began leading nightly prayers, sharing Bible stories from his childhood, and discussing the day's blessings and challenges with his family. In other words, he started to open up his own chest cavity to his family. See, John went first. He started going first. That's leadership, men. You go first. Over time, John noticed a significant transformation, not just in himself, but he started to see his wife, Sarah, shift and release some of the control that she had on, you know, sharing the faith with the kids and training them up. Like she always had a smile on her face every time John started leading, you know, in prayer. And there was a gentleness and a peace on her face, kind of like she knew this was his. This belonged to him. And he was finally seeing it. And he was leaning into what God called him to do. So John's children started to become more engaged in their faith. Go figure, huh? And his bond with his wife, Sarah, strengthened as they shared the responsibility of nurturing their family's spiritual life. So John didn't do it all. He didn't just like take over one day and be like a control freak with the spiritual leadership. Now, you see, he had trained his wife Sarah to do it just by him neglecting to do it. So Sarah picked it up, right? Because where there's a lack of leadership, good people become the leader. And Sarah was a good person, so she picked up the leadership. But once John started to step back into his role as the husband, the father, the leader of the souls of his family, she eased off and kind of backed away and let him go to the front, so to speak, the front of the class to lead and to teach. And then she was there to support him and be his helpmate, supporting him the way God designed. The way God designed. Now, for some of you listening, you may say, I don't know, this is really controversial, Joseph. What about women, women's power, all this stuff? And maybe there's some ladies listening right now. And listen, if you subscribe to the teachings of Jesus, you call yourself a Christian, then, you know, go to him with this, right? Like, go look at what he says in the Bible. This isn't my teaching. This is God's. I'm just speaking through a mic and reminding us of where we can improve in our lives. And if you're not ready to receive this teaching or any other teaching, that's okay. You know, keep showing up week after week. Let God soften your heart. And when you're ready, when you're ready, you'll let him in, right? Jesus knocks at the door of our hearts constantly. So the moral of the story here with John and with Sarah is that fathers are called to be the primary spiritual leaders in their family. Fathers are called to be the primary spiritual leaders in their family. You play a crucial role in leading your family in faith. You do. Like the most important role. When you embrace this role, you're going to foster a stronger, more unified family grounded in faith, right? So a foundation built on God for your family. Like, how amazing is that? There's some really cool stats out there. Maybe you've heard them, you've read them online, but it's a staggering. There's a staggering statistic that I personally like to quote often, and that is when the mother leads the family spiritually. I think it's like, It's like a 40% or 20%. Success rate that the kids will keep their faith and make their faith in God an important part of their adult lives. So they'll keep the faith after they move out, right? Become adults. It's like 20% success rate if the mother is the leader in the home and she does, say, a really good job with them. There's only a 20% success rate there. Now, in business, for all you business guys, that's not very optimistic. Like, you wouldn't invest in a business with your hard-earned money that only had a 20% success rate, would you? I wouldn't. But then get this, ready? Here's the stat. When the father takes leadership spiritually in his family and he publicly practices his faith in front of his wife and children, publicly practices his faith. That doesn't mean forces his faith. Being harsh, right? The Bible warns against, don't be too harsh, fathers, with your children, lest you push them away. Push them away from whom? Well, from God first and from yourself, right? Later. That's why so many dads have disconnected adult children. They were hard on them. They were too hard. They went to one extreme. So they're ready? This is it, men. When you, as the man, the husband, the father, publicly display your faith, unapologetically, in your home as your children are growing, there is a 93% success rate that your kids will keep the faith into their adult lives and then raise their children with the faith. Like, it's crazy. 20% success rate approximately when your wife is doing the leadership. And then when you take it over, 93% success rate. Which do you want? If you had two businesses in front of you to invest in, one with a 20% success rate, one with a 93% success rate, which would you invest in? The answer is obvious. Invest in yourself. Invest in becoming better at this. Because your children are on the line. Like, why does this matter? It's because your wife's soul, your kid's soul, it's under your care. How cool is that? Like, God made you responsible. It's a massive responsibility. It's an obligation that each of us will have to answer for when we meet Jesus face to face. But it's also an amazing opportunity for us to lead our family in the way to go. To lead our family in the way to go. To teach them how to live with God at the front of their life. So today's man question is, how can I lead my family in faith? How can I lead my family in faith? How can you lead your family in faith? That's today's man question. Give a call about your situation. If anything's coming to mind, if the Holy Spirit's putting something on you right now, give me a call. 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000. Again, you can tell me your name is Bob or any name you so choose and remain anonymous. I'm totally good with that. So some practical advice, men, is start family prayers. Start your family prayers. Lead the discussions on faith topics as they come up and as you bring them up, right? Take the lead. Well, how do you take lead of discussions? Well, ask a question. And it could be as simple as this, right? You come home tonight and you're sitting around the table. Do you still do that? Do you still sit around the table? Or does everyone go off with their phones and into different rooms and isolate? Well, that if that's the case, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that could be your first start as a spiritual leader, is to say, hey, fam, daddy's laying down a new law in the house. We're not doing phones during dinner. No phones during dinner. In fact, here's a basket on the table. Go ahead and put your phone in. Grab your phone, put it in before we sit down. No phones at the dinner table. And yes, everybody come to the dinner table. Why, Dad? Come on, Dad. I got things to do, Dad. I got to answer my friend, Dad. Well, because I love you and I miss talking with you and I want to know about your life. I want to hear about you. I want to hear about what you're doing good at, where you're having victories, where you're winning. I want to hear about, what are you dealing with? What are you struggling with, son, daughter? I love you. I care about you. I apologize I've been absent in this, but I want to make a new start here today. I want us to be close as a family, and I feel we're just drifting. We're drifting away, and I take full ownership of that as your father. You know, I've let that happen just by neglect. It's okay. Please forgive me. And I'm going to make it right. I'm going to lean in more to you because I care about you. I love you deeply. And I want you to have a good life, and not just happy life, but a good life. A life built on the foundation of God. And I want that to be important to you. So I want us to sit together and to talk. So tell me, what are you dealing with right now? What's going well? What's not going well in your life, right? Simple, basic questions. Just start a family discussion. And then here's how you become the spiritual leader in your marriage, right? So that could be with your kids. Is at the dinner table or around dinner. And with your wife. How do you do with your wife? Ooh, that could be so tricky for some men, right? They're like, oh, my wife, she's in charge, man. She's in charge. You know, happy wife, happy life. But is it true? It's a great cliche, but is it true? How are you doing making your wife happy all the time? You realize that's an impossible task, right? Because only God can fulfill that in her heart. Only God can fill that God-sized hole in your wife's heart, in your heart, in your kid's heart. It's not yours to fill. That's why it's so hard. That's why you're always struggling to figure out your wife. And how do you show up for her? It's difficult, man. So one way you could do it with your wife is simply, if you pray at night, then start to lead the family prayers with her before you go to bed. Just do quick night prayers, right, with your wife. And if you're already doing that, you know, you go ahead and lead. If you're not already doing that, well, there's your opportunity. And it doesn't have to be awkward or weird. You could just say, honey, before we go to bed tonight, can I just say a few words to God? You know, I just want to thank him for all the blessings in our life. I want to thank him for you, for the kids. And you just start like that, right? Like, what wife's going to say no to that? A good wife will say yes. She may give you an odd face because, like, you're showing up differently all of a sudden, but that's okay. You're a man. You could take a weird look, right? So I'm asking you to be courageous today, tonight, this week. And your weekly challenge is to initiate a family prayer night this week. Initiate a family prayer night this week. So you don't have to do 7 days, but at least do one if you're doing none. So if you're doing none, then lead one, right? Just get it going. Get it going. And let your family see you pray. Let them hear Daddy speaking to God about his what he's grateful for. Let them hear you speaking to God about what you're scared of, what challenges you're dealing with, where you're having doubts. Can you imagine how powerful that is for your kids? Like, wouldn't you have loved if your dad had done that? I know I would have. If I had heard my dad just once during night prayers, and we did prayers every night, but if I had heard my dad just once say something like this: Father, thank you for my wife and my children. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for this opportunity to lead them and to love them. I know I mess up a lot, and I hurt them, and I know I'm hard on them, often too hard on them. Father, I'm really trying. I'm doing the best I can. I really wasn't taught well myself, so I'm trying to figure this out. And Father, I need you. You know, sometimes, Father, I doubt your presence in my own life. So I could imagine that my wife and my children, sometimes maybe they have doubts. Father, I doubt that you're going to come through for me in my struggles in providing for my children. I try so hard. But Father, it's not easy. You know how difficult this life is. You know how many distractions I have and how I'm being pulled in so many directions. And Father, I just ask for your help. I need you. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better husband. Help me to lead these beautiful people, these beautiful humans you've entrusted to me, and help me to lead them closer to you and eventually back to you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. If my dad had prayed something like that one time, oh my gosh, that would have changed everything for me as a kid. It would have told me that Superman, my dad, needs help too sometimes. That my dad, who I saw as Superman for many years until I realized he wasn't, that he was broken like the rest of us. If my dad just publicly asked for help in front of me, to God, to his maker, he would have taught me how to do that. And for all my 20s and my 30s, during all that time, I never knew how to ask God for help because I had never seen my dad do it in front of me. What about you? If you have a question, we have a few minutes left. You could call 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000. I'd love to speak with you. Be the father that puts himself out there. Be the father that is willing to be humble in front of his wife and children. Like, are you willing to go there? To trust that they won't judge you. In fact, you may set something free in them. You may teach them where to go with their own struggles, because they're struggling. Your wife is struggling right now, brother. She may not show it. It's not visible. Or maybe it is visible. It's all over her. Your kids are struggling right now. Once they hit a certain age and innocence is lost, and then the world creeps in and consumes their innocence. You may be the only access they have to peace through your leadership of teaching them where to go and who to go to when life becomes impossible, when their strength is not enough, when they are in their weakness, and we all have it. So I want you this week, your challenge is to initiate a family prayer night this week. And brother, remember what leadership is. You go first. So again, I'm Joseph Warren. This is the Broken Catholic Man Show. We're only on our second week here, so we're learning and growing together with you. And I'm inviting you to call anytime. This we'll be here every Monday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, every Monday. And this is a conversation that I'm hoping you're going to join as we go forward. And we're reaching across all of Tampa Bay to over 4 million souls. And I just ask you to step in courageously next Monday and, call in and tell me you did this, the family challenge, that you did a family night, a prayer night with your wife, with your kids, and tell me how it went. I really want to hear. It would be so fulfilling to me. So, brother, we got a few minutes left here, and next week's topic, which is a little teaser, we're going to talk about, is it possible to juggle your work, your family, and your faith successfully? Is it possible to actually do it nowadays, right, in modern times? Balancing work, family, and faith. And I know you hate that word balance, right? Balance, work-life balance. You hate it. I hate it. So I don't speak about that. I really teach work-life harmony. So we're going to talk about that next Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern. So definitely join me if that is something that you're struggling with, which the majority of men are. I know I struggled with that for many, 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 many years. And through God's grace, I believe I've conquered that. And it's pretty awesome to be out the other side and to not stress about work-life balance. To not stress about which comes first, my family, my faith, my finances. All three are important, and you don't have to neglect one in order to be successful in the other. So we're going to talk about that next week, so join me if you want to find harmony between your professional life and your spiritual life. And I hope you do. All right, so again, Joseph Warren, Broken Catholic Man Show. Let us know how we're doing. Are we speaking to some of your needs and concerns? Again, if you have questions about your situation, you could call anytime, 727-441-3000. Also, if you're interested, you can find out more at brokencatholic.com, brokencatholic.com. That's brokencatholic.com. If you have a question, you can email me at Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, at brokencatholic.com. That's Joseph at brokencatholic.com. I'm happy to answer any of your questions. And if I like your question, I'll probably broadcast it next week on the show. Because your question, I guarantee, other men will have as well. Other men will have. So what are we doing here? Like, I want to share the mission with you, a big mission in the remaining seconds that we have together. So with Broken Catholic and this man show, we are going to amplify courage via the radio and fill the pews with engaged Christians and Catholics, Protestants and Catholics this decade, right? Why? Because everyone's leaving the church. Not everyone, but 80% of you are leaving the church. 50% of millennials are leaving the church right now, 50%, and that's across Protestant and Catholic denominations. So we got to put a stop to that. That's why we are creating content like this show to counter all the secular content that our young people are absorbing and that you are absorbing as well. All right, so join me next week, Broken Catholic Man Show, Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern. I love you. God love you. Have a blessed week.
Do you have questions after being injured in a car accident or injured because of someone's negligence? Do you feel overwhelmed or uncertain about the next steps after being injured in a crash? The personal injury attorneys at Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes have been helping their injured clients since 1955 and are now on this radio station to provide guidance to you. Listen to FLA Law each Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Let their decades of experience help you and your family. Offices in